100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the studio for 19 or long, so me say.
Hey, 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 Digital Sister here. How's everybody? Glad to be back to share some more information with you. Hey, I gotta let you in on a great new secret. It's called the National Association of Black Female Executives in Music or Entertainment, called NABFEM. But the most unique thing about this is this organization puts together something called Women Who Jam. It was founded by a dynamic woman named Johnny Walker, who worked for Russell Simmons at Def Jam for many years, and who worked for Steven Spielberg at DreamWorks in their urban music department. She ran that. But dynamic, totally dynamic. And she had the vision to put this kind of an organization together to give unsigned artists, primarily female, but males too, but unsigned artists, the experience of working with people in the industry and putting together a national tour and taking them out on the road so they learn how to perform, you know, make contacts, and if they have any CDs of their own that they may, so they can sell them. Just wonderful. The tour kicked off June 8th in Washington, D.C. They hit 12 cities, and last night was the final wrap-up of the tour in Cleveland, which I attended. I mean, the talent was just unbelievable. And not only Johnny, who's very dynamic, she's the president and founder of NABFEM, but I also met a very exciting, very interesting, fascinating woman. Her name is Tanya Butler, who is she's a lawyer for the entertainment industry, and she's also a professor at the University of Memphis. But great, great, great. And if you are an unsigned artist and you need to have some information about a good lawyer, then send me an audio message at 206-309-7325, and I will put you in touch with Tanya Butler if you need some advice. But anyway, there was a comedian that was there who'd been on the tour. It was a 12-city tour that they did in 20 days, and I have the CDs of three of the artists. They were just absolutely out of this world. You know, don't let the title National Association of Black Female Executives in Music and Entertainment fool you. There's also some white girls involved in it, too. And one of the white girls who was on the tour, his name is Katie Burgess, and she's from Toronto. She sings hip-hop, but she is so good. The music was slamming. She was out of sight. So, yeah, Katie Burgess, and she has a space on MySpace. Again, if you contact me, I'll give you the information. Another artist, which she was just out of this world, her name is Coco McMillan, and her new CD pre-release is called I've Been Delivered. She's kind of a gospel inspirational singer, but I mean, brought the house down. She had such stage presence. It was like sitting in a concert, you know, where I paid, you know, $50-$60 for a ticket to see her. She was out of sight. Excellent, excellent, excellent. She knew how to work the crowd, work her voice, everything. Just very, very nice. And also very nice, I talked to her a little bit afterward and got her CD. And for those of you that like instrumentals, we had DeBlon Jackson, who is a flautist. Jazz flautist, classical, but she laid it out. I mean, played some serious music last night. Again, brought people up on their feet as she was playing the flute. So the talent that Johnny has discovered and has put together to put on this tour is out of sight. So I interviewed Johnny May 30th on my radio show, and she's just really dynamic, and I'm going to be getting more and more involved with the organization. So I invite any of you out there who are musicians, who are craving to connect with people who are in the industry, who know what they're talking about, who are not full of crap, and who are willing to help you get signed, or at least to point you in the right direction, or even to look at, give you some advice on your contracts. I said, you know, get in touch with me and stay in touch with me, because I can put you in touch with people in this organization. So if you're an unsigned artist, particularly female, you're going to want to know about NABFEM, and you want to know about the Women Who Jam Tour. So contact me so I can pass that information on to you. Wow, the next big thing in the news is about some philanthropic news. I had to talk about this. Last year, there was some information about philanthropic giving being up 6% last year because of the hurricanes and the tsunami and the earthquake in Pakistan. But let's put this in perspective. Now, with the hurricanes, some $5 billion was donated. With the tsunami in Indonesia, $2 billion was donated. With the earthquake in Pakistan, $150 million was collected and donated. But the mother of all donations is Warren Buffett, giving $30.7 billion to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I mean, everybody in the nonprofit world is talking about that and spinning on their heels, wishing they could get just a quarter, just a drop of that $1.5 billion a year that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is going to receive. I mean, it's just staggering, that amount. Let's kind of like look at what that means. Before they got the donation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation had assets of $28.8 billion. With this $30.7 billion, they're going to have assets of $59.5 billion, way ahead of all of the next four major foundations. The Ford Foundation has assets of $11.6 billion. J. Paul Getty Trust, $9.6 billion. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation has $9 billion in assets. The Lilly Endowment has $8.6 billion. So you can see having $60 billion on hand for a foundation is just staggering. And Mr. Buffett only has two stipulations in order for them to receive this money. One of them is that either Bill or Melinda has to be working there in charge of the foundation, and they have to give away this $1.5 billion a year in the year that it's given. They can't put it into the endowment, and they can't save it, so they got to spend. So I just say kudos to Mr. Buffett, kudos to Bill Gates. I just wish I were one of the foundations who were getting just a little bit of that money. But I think they're going to do some wonderful things, and I hope it filters down and they ensure that they do great things, not only around the world for eradicating diseases, but that they look at some of the things in the United States that need to be looked at too, particularly with education, which is one of the things they're going to address. But man, oh man, that is so cool, and I wish it would rain down from heaven and we could all grab a little piece of that $1.5 billion. Amen. Let's move on. Let's move on. Now, check this out. Jay-Z, who is a businessman in his own right, not only a rapper and head of Def Jam as the president, but, you know, he's putting his money where his mouth is. Apparently, the exec from Cristal, Frederick Rosart, was lamenting in the Economist magazine about the company's unsought association with hip-hop. So basically he's saying they don't like the fact that Cristal is the product, the favorite champagne of the hip-hoppers, that, you know, somehow being tied with the hip-hoppers is, you know, damaging its image. Well, apparently Jay-Z got wind of this, and he was, like, pretty damn pissed. And remember, not only is he rapper, Def Jam president, he's also an entrepreneur. He's got several clubs called the 4040 Clubs in Manhattan and Atlantic City. So when he heard about this, and he's also mentioned, you know, Cristal in a lot of his videos, as a lot of the rappers have done. But when he heard about this comment from the Cristal exec, he said, oh, hell no. So what does he do? He pulled the Cristal out of his clubs in New York, in Manhattan, and Atlantic City, and has replaced the Cristal with other brands of champagne. And those companies, Perrier-Jouët and Krug, are, you know, totally embracing the fact that he's got that product in his club. And, you know, I commend him for putting his money where his mouth is. And it gets back to what I said in my previous podcast talking about Master P, how, you know, some companies, they're jumping on the bandwagon with the rappers on one hand, but on the other hand, they don't want their product to be identified. So they're still not quite giving the props to hip-hop like Master P said. And this whole situation with Jay-Z and Cristal is a perfect example. And so, you know, I wonder what will happen with Cristal. Will they make amends, or, you know, will they not care? I don't think that they're going to go that route, because too many of the rappers, you know, drink the Cristal and they feature it prominently in their videos. But I wonder if there will be a domino effect with other hip-hop artists, and they will look at how they promote products, you know. So I commend Jay-Z for putting his money where his mouth is. And if you're gonna have a negative comment about hip-hop and you're in a position to use that product, hey, switch to another product. Look at how you spend. So kudos to Jay-Z. Now, another interesting going on with the rappers is that it seems that Oprah and a couple of rappers have a little beef. I'm talking Ludacris, Fitty, and Ice Cube. So apparently, you know, Ludacris was in the film Crash, and Oprah had the cast of Crash on her show. And I guess some of the questioning got to about hip-hop lyrics and things like that. And, you know, Ludacris, you know, responded and gave an answer. But he found out later, with the show airing, that they had edited out his comments. So he was pretty pissed about that. And he kind of said he feels like, you know, Oprah doesn't want to hear his opinion. And a lot of the other rappers are saying the same thing, Ice Cube and 50. But I talked about the little beef with 50 a couple of podcasts ago. But it's kind of interesting because you have the most powerful woman, you know, who happens to be black, who's Oprah, who, you know, she is just the queen of media. And then you have some rappers who, you know, have made some strides, and they're feeling like they're kind of up there now, and they can't seem to crack, I want to call it a glass ceiling, to get on Oprah's show, because Oprah hasn't really opened up her show to have particular rappers on. So it'll be interesting to see if the queen of media, a black woman, is willing, and I say the word willing, to open up her show to talk to some rappers. Because, you know, in one sense, she has the opportunity to help. If she doesn't like some of the stuff that's going on in rap, she has the opportunity with her show to have a couple of them on from time to time, or maybe just do a show about hip-hop with several, you know, hip-hop artists that maybe you had a beef with but who were willing to come on the show, but have a show and talk about some of these issues. Because, you know, she can afford to do whatever she wants, but I think at this stage, you know, why not? Why can't you have some of them on and have a discussion about it? Why do you have to shut them off from your show? They already get very little exposure on mainstream media, but they're still selling those records. But, you know, I hope she kind of changes her mind, and I hope that rather than be like everybody else and kind of be negative in the sense, I hope that she, you know, will kind of step up to the plate and see that she has the power to present a venue where she can have them on the show and talk about some of the things she feels, you know, and kind of clear the air. But then again, it makes you wonder, is she a little bit nervous about having them on? Because, you know, some of them are very, you know, macho and you know, they don't really give a shit about what they say or who they offend. You know, it's all about what I want to say. So, you know, I wonder if she's a little hesitant because of what they might say or what. But I just think she has an opportunity to change that, and she has an opportunity to help present hip-hop in a better light should she decide to do it. But, you know, I hope she does. I really hope she does. And again, it gets back to, hey, if you're the queen of media and you're a sister and you got some brothers out here who are trying to do it, you know, give them a vehicle. Let them come on the show. You don't have to love everything they do. You don't have to have the raunchy ones on. But have the ones on who are intelligent and about something. And I'm surprised that she feels that way about Ludacris, because, you know, she's just been given a show on XM Satellite Radio, and he has a show on XM Satellite Radio. I mean, they're in the same platform, but yet there's still this tension, you know? So I'm hoping that, you know, she can be as big as she is and just say, hey, I'm going to have you guys on the show and we'll just have a conversation about it. And, you know, that could possibly be the end of it. And it could possibly show that she's not, you know, above certain situations. Because, you know, she got her wake-up call. I'm talking about Oprah. She got her wake-up call last summer. You know, she didn't show up at John Johnson's funeral saying she couldn't make it. You know, you got all kinds of friends that have jets and everything else. You can get anywhere you want to get. Okay, so I don't know what that was really about. And then she was in Paris shopping at Hermes, the store, the very exclusive store. But they didn't let her in because they claimed they didn't know who she was. They claimed they had problems with North Africans. So she got a feeling of what it was like, you know, with the rappers. You know, they're trying to get onto her show, but she's shutting them out. And she was trying to get into Hermes, and they shut her out. So I'm hoping that she will look at that and make some change and just, you know, have them on and have a discussion. It's really, you know, not a big deal. Okay, we'll move on to some other interesting topics. Now, along with the hip-hop thing, and, you know, we're always talking about the link with the women on the cars and sipping the Cristal and whatnot, and why there's such a strong link with hip-hop, you know, the video vixens / hoes and that kind of thing. But I was watching a program, TV One Access, and very interesting that a writer named Gail Mitchell, who's a writer for Billboard, and I'm going to look for the article and see if I can find it, but she was saying that a lot of new music, particularly hip-hop, is being, you know, played and debuted in strip clubs. So that would make sense why some of the raunchiness, to some degree, is linked with the hip-hop. But I had never heard of that. I never really thought that strip clubs would be a place where you would break your music and drop a new CD. But apparently it's another avenue, you know, rightly or wrongly, that artists will be able to get their music heard. But who knew, right? Who knew? A strip club is the place where you would be able to break some music and hear some new music. Very interesting. Very interesting. Oh, man, check this out. The View is over for Star Jones. And we knew that was coming. We knew it was coming. And she's not going to be back in September because apparently they didn't renew her contract. And she really didn't know that that was happening until apparently they kind of had been in discussions with Rosie O'Donnell, who I think is a little bit obnoxious, but they were in discussions with Rosie to bring her on to replace Meredith Vieira, who, of course, is going to replace Katie Couric, who, of course, is moving to CBS News. But in any event, they didn't tell Star that her contract wasn't going to be renewed. So right now, she's feeling like she was fired. So I wonder, as an attorney, you know, if there are going to be any repercussions where she sued them or, you know, whatever. But in any event, it's very, very telling about what I'm about to say. Now, Rosie O'Donnell, You know, she knows how to create her own buzz. And so what she did, once she knew she was going to be coming on The View, she started getting on all kinds of channels and all kinds of shows and talking about how hard she found to believe that Star lost all this weight naturally. You know, because she was a big woman, 300-plus pounds, and now she's down to about a size 8. And so what Rosie was saying is she said she just can't believe that she did this naturally. So she's been saying this all over the media and kind of, you know, picking at Star like that. But on the other hand, she's creating the buzz for people to tune into the show, you know? But I thought, man, what a trip. And so now, with Star not going to be back, what is The View going to look like? It's going to be all white women sitting up there discussing stuff that white women discuss. And that's going to be like a shame, because it kind of gets back to, you know, what I'm talking about. NAACP just put out another report and said TV still lacks color. There's nothing on the major networks. We have the UPN being folded into another network. A couple, maybe two shows survive, which is Girlfriends and another show. But, you know, all those shows are gone. excuse me, the Bernie Mac show. This was like the only show that had a black lead character. Okay? Now his show's been canceled. So there's nothing. George Lopez is really the only one remaining minority lead in a major network comedy. And he's been real critical of the industry for failing to develop comedies around minority performers. And he's really not surprised. He said basically he called TV studios modern-day plantation owners, that they're only concerned with the problems white people have, and they cast all these cute white people. It's really sad for me to see. I've seen it from the inside since 2001. There used to be these comedies with Bernie and Cedric the Entertainer, but it seems like they got afraid and reverted back to what's safe for them. And, you know, George Lopez may be absolutely right. And maybe to some degree that was the same thing that was happening, you know, with Star. Maybe she was getting, quote, too big for her britches, in their mind. So again, you know, we're back to just another Lily White show on the network. So, but it will be interesting to see how, with Star leaving the show, what's going to happen for her. With that vehicle of being on The View for 9 years, she was able to parlay that into many other opportunities. But you know, sometimes when you lose that vehicle, it's a little bit more difficult to parlay other things. And, you know, particularly as a black woman. So it'll be very interesting to see how she lands on her feet. Will she get another show? Will she be doing, you know, the red carpet types of things? So it'll just be interesting to see, you know, what happens with her and how things pan out for her, since she will no longer be on The View come this September. Now, check this out. Looks like Robert De Niro is looking at making a movie about Missy Elliott. Now, I thought that was kind of surprising. Not that he would make a movie about Missy Elliott, because, you know, Robert De Niro loves his sisters, but the fact that, is Missy's life interesting enough to be a film? I don't want to bash that too much, because, you know, Eminem put out his film 8 Mile, but, you know, why not? You know, I guess I should say why not. But, you know, I hope that there's some depth to it, and, you know, maybe we'll learn something new about Missy that we didn't know about. And then again, maybe this will be good for people who are interested in trying to break into the industry of what she had to go through. As I was talking about with the Woman Who Jammed tour earlier in the podcast. But, you know, hey, why not? It'll be nice to see a movie about a female rapper, a black female rapper. Kudos to Robert De Niro. He's always been my guy. Now check this out with Dave Chappelle. What is up with him? He calls up Hot 97 to talk to Miss Jones, to talk about his new Dave Chappelle Block Party, which is out on DVD. But, you know, when the conversation quite naturally turned to, you know, what happened to him and his sudden exit from Comedy Central, you know, he clammed up and he basically, you know, hung up on Miss Jones. And my thing is, you know, people are going to ask you about this because who in their right mind is going to walk away from $50 million? You know, if you don't want to do the show, you still have the, I mean, you know, do the show, but you could do other things. You could be developing other artists. You could develop another show. I mean, that gives you the money to do some stuff. I'm thinking, what an idiot. You know, what an idiot. But in any event, seems like Miss Jones of Hot 97 said she felt like she was being a fool for trying to be nice to accommodate him, you know, to come on and talk about this DVD. And instead, what Miss Jones said, which I thought was really funny, is she said, what I should have said was, what the fuck are you calling for? So I thought that was pretty funny. But anyway, you know, come on, Dave. You know people are going to ask you about that. You know, that was the big news story last summer. Please, get over it. Now let me shift gears a little bit and just talk about how thankful I am to Mayor Shirley Franklin in Atlanta for putting together an investment group to buy, and basically was going to pay $32 million for the thousands of documents in the collection of Martin Luther King that they found basically in the basement after Coretta died. You know, the kids turned it over to Sotheby's auction house and were going to sell it. And I think when that hit the news, everybody was just so appalled because it was in major white newspapers. It was people were saying it on the show. I think people were really just horrified that this important work was going to be auctioned off, you know, at Sotheby's. So in the final hour, I'm really thankful that Mayor Franklin and Andy Young put together a team of people to buy this from Sotheby's and have it properly housed at Morehouse College, which it really is where it should be because Dr. King graduated from Morehouse College. It's in Atlanta. Atlanta was his home. That's where he raised his family. That's where, you know, he did his great work, so it should be there. And the curator, I should say the vice chairman, Mr. David Redden of Sotheby's, was, I think he breathed a sigh of relief like we all did, that he was very thankful that it came to a good solution. And, you know, they canceled the auction. And I think that that was very, very commendable of him, because sometimes, you know, you sign those contracts and you can't break them. But I think it speaks to how everybody felt that this collection was so important that it had to stay someplace where the public will be able to view the works of this great man and read some of the things and learn about how he thought and what he was feeling. And it will be properly cared for at his alma mater at Morehouse, which is where it should be. So I'm really glad that this had a happy ending. And it seems that Dexter King, who is the CEO of the King Estate, was delighted. And he said his mother would probably be very delighted that it will remain in Atlanta. However, I would love to be a fly on the wall with the other siblings to think, you know, what they're saying. I mean, they're going to get some payment as a result of the sale. But, you know, I just kind of wonder, you know, what they're thinking and what their comments are. But again, I'm just really glad that it had a very good resolution. So in any event, I think I've bent your ear again long enough. Be sure to drop me a line. Become a fan. And again, if you're an unsigned artist looking for a way to break into the industry, you know, give me a call. Leave me a message, 206-309-7325, and I can put you in touch with people who will put you on the right track and who are sincere about helping you live your dream in the music industry. Well, again, thanks to my fans, my growing fan base in Boston, in the Denver area, in Edmonton, Calgary, Canada, in California, and across the country. The podcast is growing. I'm really excited about that. Continue to listen. Continue to pass it on to your friends. I'm going to be back to you in a couple of days. Digital Sister signing out. Have a great week and take care.
Sing, 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 sing